to please open your Bibles to the Gospel according to Luke, Luke chapter 10, and we're going to read from verse 38, Luke chapter 10, we'll read verses 38 to 42. Let us again give our attention to the reading of God's holy and inerrant word. Now it happened as they went that he entered a certain village, and a certain woman named Martha welcomed him into her house. And she had a sister called Mary, who also sat at Jesus' feet and heard his word. But Martha was distracted with much serving. And she approached him and said, "Lord, do you not care that my sister has left me to serve alone? Therefore, tell her to help me." And Jesus answered and said to her, "Martha, Martha, you are worried and troubled about many things, but one thing is needed. And Mary has chosen that good part which will not be taken away from her." Amen. Thus far the reading of God's own holy word. May he be pleased to write its truth on our hearts this evening. Probably most of us in the past week or two, or at least the last few days, have had some welcome rest from our busy schedules. We value the holiday season for the opportunity it provides to spend more time perhaps with our families, doing things that we maybe don't often get the luxury to do. We've come to the end of another busy and hopefully productive year, and it's only natural, I think, for us to look back and to ask, what have I accomplished in 2023? How have I served my family, my employer, my neighbor, my community, my nation? But a far more important question for us to ask as we draw near the end of another year is, how have I served the Lord in 2023? How have I grown as a Christian, grown in the grace and the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ? We know that we are living in an exceptionally busy age. A march of technological progress has made completing our tasks faster and more efficient, which leads to greater productivity, but also, I think, to a greater list of what we try to cram into the same 24 hours that God has bestowed on each and every one of us. But the question that we must ask is, how much of that window of time have we devoted to communion with God, the God who gave us those 24 hours? Perhaps as we review, some of us need to confess that we've maybe not lived particularly balanced lives in the year that is coming to an end. We've perhaps not been lazy, but neither have we maybe had the right priorities as we've gone through the year. The priority, by the way we prioritize things temporal versus the way that we've prioritized things eternal. And so perhaps some of us this evening feel we're sputtering on fumes to the finish line at midnight and only to do it all over again. And that's why I think this beautiful little story about Jesus and his dealings with these two sisters, Mary and Martha, can help us take spiritual stock of our year that has passed. And as we think of priorities in the year to come, we may have achieved many things in the year that has passed, and for that we can surely be thankful. But as we move forward, Jesus reminds us that in contrast to these many things, there is in fact only one thing that is really needful. So we're going to think about this passage under two headings this evening. First, we want to consider Martha's heart for the ministry of service. And secondly, we'll think about Mary's heart for the ministry of the Word. So Martha's heart for the ministry of service, Mary's heart for the ministry of the Word. Let's think first of all about the older sister. Let's think about Martha and her great heart for the ministry of service. Have a look again at verse 38. Now it happened as they went that he entered a certain village, and a certain woman named Martha welcomed him into her house. I'd like us under this first heading to think about three things to observe. The first thing is this: the ministry of service is a good thing. The ministry of service is a good thing. I think sometimes Martha comes in for a pretty bad rap in this story, as if there was something wrong with her desire to serve in the way we see her doing in this passage. We read that Martha welcomed Jesus into her house, and consequently in verse 40, Jesus acknowledges that she is busily engaged in much serving. That Greek word translated serving is that important word diakonia, where we get the word deacon. It's commonly used in the context of the church, where it is primarily defined as a ministry of mercy, particularly to meet temporal and physical needs. So here, Martha's ministry of diaconal service was hospitality. And she had a most honored guest, the Lord Jesus, who once said, "The Son of Man has nowhere to lay his head." And in the context, Jesus has been traveling and teaching extensively. He's no doubt thankful for the respite and the refreshment that Martha's house provides. And right away, we have a point of practical application, don't we? Martha's heart for the ministry of service is not only a good thing, but it's a thing that is worthy of our emulation. Hospitality is not a biblical suggestion. It is actually a biblical command. Martha welcomed Jesus into her house. My friends, there is no more important decision that your family can make for 2024, spiritually speaking, than welcoming Jesus into your home. And then, if you have said with Martha, "As for me and my house, we will serve the Lord," you're not just going to welcome Jesus in, you're going to welcome his needy people in too. We read in Matthew 25:35, Jesus says on the last day, "I was hungry and you gave me food. I was thirsty and you gave me drink. I was a stranger and you took me in." And then he says, "Assuredly I say to you, inasmuch as you did it to one of these, least of these my brethren, you did it to me." So, the ministry of service, it's a good thing. The church needs its Marthas. And I trust this congregation, well, I know from experience, this congregation is blessed with many Marthas. Some of us men are married to Marthas. What a blessing that is. Not only does the Lord, when he's on earth, give to serve spiritual needs, but we have temporal needs as well. And like Martha, we need to keep our eyes open as to how to meet those temporal needs. 1 Peter 4:9, "Be hospitable to one another without grumbling. And as each one has received a gift, minister it to one another as good stewards of the manifold grace of God." The ministry of service is a good thing. The second thing we see under this heading is that the ministry of service is often a distracting thing. Often a distracting thing. And we see that in 39 and 40. She had a sister called Mary who also sat at Jesus' feet and heard his word. But Martha was distracted with much serving. And she approached him and said, "Lord, do you not care that my sister has left me to serve alone? Therefore, tell her to help me." Martha's ministry of service is a good thing, but it's not happening in a vacuum. At least not on this occasion. There's something of eternal significance happening in Martha's home that day. You see, Jesus' visit to her family not only gave her an opportunity to serve him, it gave him an opportunity to serve her family as well. Jesus wasn't simply waiting on the sofa for the sumptuous dinner she was preparing. He too was busy that day, busy with much serving, busy with teaching his word. Now, we'll think about that aspect of the story in our second point. But as we continue to think about Martha's heart here, we read that Martha was distracted with much serving. Distracted by what? Much serving. This good and noble and example-setting ministry of service was distracting her. But distracted from what? Distracted from hearing his word. This word distracted, it's only found here in the New Testament. It means to be over-occupied or too busy about a thing. I wonder, can you identify with that word? It's not the thing itself that is problematic. It's the priority that it has assumed in her life. It's something that Martha has a heart for. It's something she's very, very good at. It's something she enjoys doing. But it's also something that's begun to distract her. Distract her from an even greater priority. I like the way Kevin DeYoung addresses this passage. He says, "Martha isn't doing anything bad. She's just being pulled away from what is better. She's so busy with dinner that she's giving Jesus her spiritual leftovers." Yes, well, that's nicely put. Giving Jesus our spiritual leftovers. And we learn from her, don't we, that the good is so often the enemy of the best. Or to put it another way, Martha's service to others' welfare has led her to neglect her own spiritual welfare. Her service has distracted her from hearing the word. And when that happens, our ability to bless others by our ministry of service is itself hampered. We find ourselves defeating our own good purposes. Instead of fruit-bearing ministry towards others, our service can become thorn-bearing towards ourselves. Remember Matthew 13:22. "He who received seed among the thorns is he who hears the word, but the cares of this world choke the word, and he becomes unfruitful." Martha's busyness in a good thing has choked the word, and it ceases to bear its fruit in her life as it ought. And what we learn from this is how Satan so often turns our strengths into weaknesses. In this particular case, Martha's gift of homemaking and hospitality becomes negligence of the means of grace. Satan rarely uses overtly wicked things to distract you from the ministry of the word, at least not at first. But instead, he will use good things, even ministry things, to undermine your communion with God. And if he succeeds in doing this, he will have successfully turned your ministry itself into an idol. And once the good things you busy yourself with become idols, you'll become irritated when something else comes along and distracts you from them. And that's exactly, I think, what we see happening here with Martha. Verse 40, we read, Martha was distracted with much serving, and she approached him and said, Lord, do you not care that my sister has left me to serve alone? Therefore, tell her to help me. When time with the Lord becomes an unwelcome intruder on your precious time that you're busily spending on other things, even good things, then it's high time for us to reevaluate our life's priorities. Then isn't that what we see here in Martha's actions? When she finally does approach Jesus in verse 40, it's not to worship Him. It's not to listen to His Word, but it's to complain about how unproductive she's being in serving her domestic idol. Do you not care, she says, that my sister has left me to serve alone? Therefore, tell her to help me. She complains to the Lord that Mary doesn't share her priorities. And she essentially blames her sister for being selfish. Who's really being selfish here? Martha's become so absorbed in a good and an honorable thing that she's lost her sense of proportion and priority. I wonder, have you ever experienced this yourself? Maybe in the year that has passed. Have you found yourself becoming irritated, perhaps? The time spent with the Lord is intruding on the precious time you had allotted to other things that you're making a greater priority. Have good things become sinful distractions from the Word of God, trumping communion with Christ in your life? And you can be distracted by a lot of very good things. Distracted by your vocation. I realize that probably in this group, somebody here has been called by God to serve in a particularly demanding and time-consuming vocation. Sometimes God tests us with unreasonable bosses who make draconian demands. Or perhaps a string of family emergencies that stretch us thin, or multiple deadlines we cannot control. You can become distracted by your family responsibilities. And Martha here was probably a widow, the head of her own home. Whether you bear that weight of responsibility or not, many of us are just in a very busy stage of family life. I can see that looking out here. Busy lives. Some with little children, and little children don't stop making demands of us, do they? Day and night. And then, of course, perhaps at the other end, some of us maybe are caring for elderly parents, and there are demands made by them, good and appropriate demands. So to summarize, the ministry of service is often a distracting thing, but it needn't always be. There are times and seasons when our schedules impinge on our time with Christ, but never indefinitely. And it's not so much that serving others is by definition distracting. Rather, it's the amount of serving we undertake that can be distracting. We read that Martha was distracted with much serving. And the question, as Jesus will explain later, is one of priorities. How will we choose to invest our time? Christians ought to redeem the time and ask God to teach us to number our days, as we just sang from Psalm 90. But He gives all of us in this room the same 24 hours. None of us here gets just a little half hour more here or there. We all are bound by the same time. And we must all choose how to invest those hours. So the ministry of service is a good thing. It's often a distracting thing. And the ministry of service, third, is often a worrisome thing. A worrisome thing. Verse 41, Jesus answered and said to her, Martha, Martha, you are worried and troubled about many things. Now again, the ministry of service needn't be a worrisome thing, but often it does become so. We gradually lose sight of Christ, or our busyness over domestic concerns, our provision, our comfort, convenience, these can so overwhelm our perspective that we become worried, anxious, troubled. And what we have here is a real life example of Matthew 6:31. Jesus said, "Do not worry, saying, what shall we eat? What shall we drink? What shall we wear? For after all these things the Gentiles seek, but your heavenly Father knows that you need them. But seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added to you." So again, Jesus challenges your priorities. The matters of eternity must take precedence over your pressing temporal concerns that he's already promised to provide for us, so we don't need to worry. But Martha was worrying. And she was worrying because in her busyness she had lost sight of the one thing necessary. And maybe some of us this evening are going into 2024 that way. We're going into this new year and we're worried, troubled about many things. Maybe this year threatens to be the busiest year yet. And you look at that list of endless responsibilities, that calendar I was talking about this morning, and it's just filling up so fast. And there just doesn't seem to be any wiggle room at all. Well, Jesus reminds you this evening that many things can become worrisome precisely because they are so many. We're going to sing later from Psalm 127, "It is vain for you to rise up early and sit up late to eat the bread of anxious toil, so he gives his beloved sleep." So what have we learned from Martha's example this evening? Martha's heart for the ministry of service was good, but she had allowed it to become distracting from the word and a source of worry and trouble of mind. And even though she lived so long ago in such a different culture, her little domestic world is a lot like the world we occupy. It's a stressful world. Stressful. Many legitimate demands. And surely there's a warning here for us all. Martha reminds you and I to beware of a creeping spiritual neglect. If you find yourself this evening to be worried and troubled about many things, the odds are you're not seeking first his kingdom and his righteousness. Too many irons in the fire often means not enough irons in the fire of God's word. That's Martha's heart for the ministry of service. And that brings us to the second sister in the story. That's Mary. And Mary's heart for the ministry of the word. And by ministry of the word, we mean Mary's primary concern for her soul, for her spiritual life, for her personal relationship and communion with the Lord through the means of grace. And we see her there in verse 39. What do we read? "She had a sister called Mary who sat at Jesus' feet and heard his word." Again, very briefly, I want to note just three things. The first is this, that a heart for the ministry of the word is a good thing. It's also a good thing. Mary sat at Jesus' feet and she listened to his teaching. She heard his word. And this is an allusion to discipleship. You remember how the Apostle Paul said in Acts 22:3 that he was brought up in the city at the feet of Gamaliel. It's an idiom that describes the fact that he was Gamaliel's disciple. And you see in the same way here, Mary was Jesus' disciple. Jesus' true disciples will always be found sitting at his feet and listening to his word. It's a posture of humility. It's a recognition that our lives and all their concerns are subordinate to the revealed will of our Savior expressed in His Word. It's a posture of personal communion with Jesus Christ, sitting close, listening to His voice as He applies His Word to each of us as individuals. It's a sure mark of being a member of Jesus' family. Luke 8:21, "My mother and my brothers are those who hear the word of God and do it." And it is a treasure, it is treasured more than all this world can offer. Psalm 119:127, "Therefore I love your commandments more than gold, yes, than fine gold." You see, friends, a faithful disciple of Christ will not allow anything to abate his or her hunger and thirst for the life-giving Word of God. Psalm 81:10, "I am the Lord your God who brought you out of the land of Egypt. Open your mouth wide, and I shall fill it." That's Mary, you see. She's sitting at Jesus' feet. She's opening her mouth. She's drinking it in. A heart for the ministry of the Word. It's a good thing. Indeed, Jesus here explicitly tells us it is a good part or a good portion. That word translated portion or part refers to the portion or a course of a meal. And so this story is really comparing and contrasting two kinds of feeding, isn't it? Is our priority for the food for the body or the food for the soul? While Martha has been preoccupied with preparing food portions, there's a more important portion that Mary is presently tucking into in the living room. And while Martha prepares a physical feast in the kitchen, Jesus is spreading a very different kind of feast in the room next door. And Mary has learned that man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds from the mouth of God. So Jesus explicitly says that a heart for the ministry of the Word is a good thing. That good portion. But it's more than just a good thing. It's a better thing. A better thing. Verse 42. "One thing is needed, and Mary has chosen that good part which will not be taken away from her." Two different sisters, two different hearts. Both, of course, are good things. But only one thing is needed. One is more important than the other. Remember Jesus said in John 6:27, "Do not labor for the food that perishes, but for the food that endures to everlasting life, which the Son of Man will give you. I am the bread of life. He who comes to me shall never hunger, and he who believes in me shall never thirst." As you come to the end of the year, have you learned Mary's lesson? Do you sit and attend to the ministry of the Word as it's preached in God's house week by week? Do you read God's Word as families? Do you privately seek communion with Jesus in His Word as you open your Bible day by day? Yes, this ministry of the Word is a good thing. But next we see that a heart for the ministry of the Word is often a misinterpreted thing. A misinterpreted thing. We've seen how Martha misinterpreted this thing that her sister was doing. She interrupts Jesus' lesson. It's kind of awkward, actually. "Lord, don't you care? My sister's left me to serve alone." Martha's saying to Jesus, "Look at my sister. Her priorities are all wrong." And Martha's misinterpretation is that, at least in this case, the ministry of the Word is subordinate to the ministry of service. But on the contrary, it is the ministry of the Word that fuels the ministry of service. Martha is so frustrated, isn't she, by Mary's choice. She even appeals to Jesus. "Do you not care?" Those aren't good words to ask Jesus. Ever. Jesus, do you not care? Don't ever say that, please. Of course Jesus cares. Of course He cares. We read in John 11:30, now Jesus loved Martha and her sister and Lazarus. Jesus does not for a second condemn her for all the trouble she's gone to on His behalf. He knows it's an expression of her genuine love and affection for her Savior. But nevertheless, He must issue a gentle rebuke. And it is gentle. Martha, Martha, you're worried and troubled about many things, but one thing is needed. Martha's misunderstanding stems from what we saw in our first point, that her priorities are wrong. Martha is worried and troubled about many things, but one thing is needed, and Mary has chosen that better part. The implication is that Martha too has chosen, but she has chosen the many comparatively inconsequential things over the one thing that really matters. And she's chosen to busy herself with many temporal things to the neglect of her soul. You have only one soul to save from this perishing world, and to jeopardize that soul by pursuing too many temporal things is a fool's errand. Jesus says, what profit is it to a man if he gains the whole world and is himself destroyed or lost? And so Martha too has a choice to make. Mary has chosen that better part. Jesus says to her, what choice are you going to make? What choice are you going to make, Martha? Martha has misunderstood the comparative importance of the ministry of the Word. And like her little sister, she must go afresh to Jesus and sit at His feet and commune with Him in order to fetch daily grace for her many chores. And when she seeks first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, all these many things will be added to her. So, how have your priorities been as you look back over this year that ends tonight? Have you chosen that one thing that is needed? What have you lived for in 2023? Think about that. Have you chosen that one thing? Have your priorities been temporal or have they been spiritual? And please don't misunderstand me. Jesus is not throwing the woman of Proverbs 31 under the bus here. Right? Sometimes you'll read commentators and you think that's what Jesus is doing. Oh, that's not important. Of course it's important. She has willing hands grasping the spindle. Her light does not go out at night. That's Martha. That's good. An industrious woman in the home is highly prized in Scripture. Jesus knows the burdens of the busy homemaker. He knows the hectic schedule of the businessman. He knows the relentless ministry of the caregiver. But it's not until you get Christ in perspective, as Mary did, that all these other worthy responsibilities are brought back into their proper perspective. And instead of being worried and troubled about these many things, you will leave them at the Savior's feet, because that is where you habitually sit. And you'll not be disappointed, because finally a heart for the ministry of the Word is always a rewarding thing. Always a rewarding thing. Jesus promises to reward those who, like Mary, choose that good part. He assures you in verse 42, it will never be taken away from you. Think about that. Jesus Christ has never sent away anyone hungry who has truly sought Him for their spiritual nourishment. And He makes that promise to us this evening, to every one of us here. If you're hungry, will you choose that better part in 2024? And will you humbly seek Him in His Word? If you will, it will not be taken away. Now, doubtless this new year will be busy. Of course it will. Many things will demand our attention in our earthly callings, and we have to do them with all our heart to the glory of God. 6 days we shall labor and do all our work. But in the midst of all the busyness, you will be faced with this same choice of priorities. And I would urge you this evening, as I urge myself, to resolve right at the doorstep of a new year, like Mary, that we'll all choose the one thing needful, that we'll sit at the word of Jesus every day and listen to his word. When will you get to do that in this new year? Let me urge you, hear his word each Sabbath day in 2024. He's giving you 52 opportunities to do that. Choose the good part, the ministry of the word. He has promised to be present here by his Spirit to feed you his word on 104 occasions, possibly more, who knows, morning and evening of his day. Where are you going to be on those days? Right here, sitting at Jesus' feet. That's where you need to be. That's where you need to be. Or will you be preoccupied with temporal things, as Martha? Why do you think he gave you one day a week free from Martha-like busyness, from the concerns of this world? It's so you could sit at Jesus' feet and listen without the guilt of uncompleted projects and other distractions. You've 6 other days to be Martha. On Sunday, be Mary. That's the point. Or will you rob yourself and the Lord by sitting instead at the feet of your television or your PlayStation or Snapchat or Instagram, and the list could go on? Of course, some of us will have works of necessity to perform on the Lord's day, but many of us here will not. We must resist the encroachments of our employers on the Christian Sabbath. The world's Marthas, especially in the corporate world, are increasingly taking up Martha's protest against Jesus' disciples, saying, "Do you not care that my employees have left me to serve alone? Therefore, tell them to come and help me." You're Jesus' disciple more than you're their employee. And I realize that can be a challenge for us. Your loyalty to the Christ must take precedence over loyalty to the company. Hear his word on the Sabbath day. Hear his word in family worship in 2024. If this is something that maybe has been slipping in your home, make a resolution. Make a resolution tonight. Bring your whole family to his feet so they all might hear Jesus teach. And when Jesus visits your home to teach his word, as he did Mary's home, make it a priority that everyone in the home is there to hear him. Don't let your family be scattered in different rooms, like Mary and Martha were, with very different priorities. Keep it simple. Read your Bible. Pray. It's not difficult. It can be a challenge to get started. But if it's not something you're doing, do it and expect a rich reward. And finally, hear his word in personal devotions in 2024. Go into your room and close the door and pray to your Father who is in secret. Open the word and trust him that it won't return to him empty, but accomplish the purposes for which he's sending it to you each day. A heart for the ministry of the word is always a rewarding thing. The Lord says this to those of you who will heed these counsels this evening. Well-known words, Joshua 1:8. "This book of the law shall not depart from your mouth, but you shall meditate on it day and night, that you may observe to do according to all that is written in it. For then you will make your way prosperous, and then you will have good success." This well-known story tells us about Martha's heart for the ministry of service and Mary's heart for the ministry of the word. We stand on the threshold of a new year. We're reminded this morning we don't know what it will bring. But you can this evening determine what your priorities are going to be. God's path to blessing for you and for your family is very simple. He says to you this evening, one thing is needed. Will you choose that good part and resolve to sit at Jesus' feet and hear His word? If you do that this evening, you have His promise to you that it will not be taken away. Amen.